My father-in-law from my first marriage had a way with words. He was a mathematician, really, but he was good with words too. And Phil's advice when I felt nervous about any project on which I was about to embark and sought his opinion was to cheer me by saying, "Oh, it can't go wrong. There's nothing to stop it." Think about that. I suppose that roughly equates to stop worrying, get on with it, hope for the best. Our first reading this morning was from the book of Daniel. The message of Daniel is a message of hope. Daniel and his friends are role models of faithful witness during a time of trial. If we follow their example, we can be confident that despite all appearances to the contrary, the last word belongs to God and not to any earthly rulers or despots. Daniel speaks of the earthly dust of those who are faithful to God coming to shine like heavenly stars. The good news of Jesus promises us resurrection life, and our God is a faithful God. Our God keeps his promises. He's a God who can be trusted with all our pain, all our failure, as well as with our joys and our triumph. Long years ago, when I was an L-plate Christian and a single parent with three small children, I was at home preparing a meal when I was interrupted by the ringing of the phone. Telephone calls often come at the wrong time, don't they? And they come in various categories, don't they? From the welcome, exciting and rewarding friendly voice to the invasive, nuisance, hard sell from a distant call desk, or worse still these days, from a computer. The caller on this occasion was of the hard sell variety. He was selling life assurance. At that time, I had very, very little money, and a degree of evangelical zeal made much easier when I was talking to a faceless voice. "I already have life assurance, eternal life assurance with God, and it's free." My bold statement was knocked down with the reply, "Good, I hope he pays the bill then." I didn't get the opportunity or the nerve to say that Jesus had actually paid for him as well, if he cared to listen and to follow him. The reading from Mark's Gospel tells us that Jesus and the disciples had left the temple where Jesus had been teaching. They'd actually crossed the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. Facing the temple across the valley, Jesus talked about the signs that would precede the coming catastrophe. He warned of false messiahs, false prophets, earthquakes, famines, wars and rumours of wars. Doesn't that sound familiar? The social and political world that Jesus' disciples knew would collapse. The temple was then still under construction. Building began 20 years before Jesus was born and continued for another 43 years until, just as Jesus had told them, the Roman army destroyed it during a Jewish revolt. But it was indeed an amazing, even a dazzling sight. The contemporary historian Josephus tells us that the clusters of grapes which hung from just one of the golden vine decorations were each one as tall as a man, and that whatever was not overlaid with gold was purest white, dazzling indeed. Very grand. And to the Jews, it represented the relationship between God and them. It stood for a system and an order of things, a reassuring, constant symbol of national security. Let the Romans think they're in control. Just look at our temple building. Far more impressive than anything they could come up with. It certainly shows us and them whose side God is on, and it isn't theirs. One day he'll surely kick them out for good. And the disciples were very proud of it. They said to Jesus, "Hey Jesus, take a look at those huge stones. Isn't it a marvellous sight? It's just wonderful. Shows how dedicated our people are to God, doesn't it? Makes you feel good. Makes you feel proud. Statement of our heritage. Shows our special close relationship with God. It makes us feel safe. It gives us hope when we see it. Surely God must be impressed and find favour with it." And Jesus looked at the splendid building and then at the disciples. And giving them the look they'd come to know so well, he said, "Yes, I can see the buildings, all very impressive. But just take time. Have a good long look at them. A really good look. Because I tell you this, one day not one of those great stones will be left on another, because all of it, every single stone, will be thrown down. Can imagine the horror that the disciples heard those words. They couldn't begin to imagine the destruction of such a magnificent, such a strong building, their safe place, the source of their nation's pride, their hope. Was completely unthinkable. Was God really planning to sweep away the very ground from under their feet? Out tumbled their thoughts and their fears. When's it going to happen, Jesus? Come on, you can't just say things like that. We need to know when. We need to be prepared. How will we know when it's coming, when it's about to happen? Jesus, you've got to give us some kind of warning, and now, before it happens. But Jesus' answer contained another warning. Listen, you need to keep watch. Keep your eyes open. Don't be blinkered. Look and see what's happening around you. Don't take things for granted. Make sure you're not taken in by anyone who comes claiming to be me when disasters happen around you. And don't let anyone or anything tempt you away from me. And then he told them of things to come, of wars, famines, disaster, turmoil. And terrible, although all this will be, Jesus told them, don't imagine that this means the end time. Because you can't know when the age will be brought to an end and the fullness of God's kingdom will come. Because it's God who reigns supreme. He is in charge of all things, and his plans and his timing are his alone. The temple was deemed to be indestructible, safe as houses, and buildings still signify things in our time, don't they? People used to say, safe as the Bank of England. And not long ago, we again saw and heard celebration of Guy Fawkes Night, commemorating the overthrowing of a plot to blow up the building which houses our parliament. We remember two terrible atrocities in America, Europe, our own country, bringing death, destruction, chaos to what seemed to be peaceful and lasting. And last Sunday, we remembered the tragic loss of a generation sent to fight a war to end all wars. Buildings are important to us, from the grand national symbols to our own homes, our own rooms, reflecting something of our lives that we hold dear. What do our church buildings say to those outside? Are we speaking God's message of love and care for the poor? Because the buildings can neither speak nor act in love. It's the actions and words of the real church, you and me, God's people, who meet to worship God. For amongst us, you and me, is where the love of God, the coming of his kingdom, will be revealed. The light of God's love, the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing the good news of Jesus, forgiveness, freedom, hope in this dark world, a light that is brighter and far more lasting than any earthly light, a beacon in the darkness of a heedless, hurting and needy world. No wonder the disciples were so alarmed and upset that Jesus' prophecy and his answers to their anxious questions weren't easy platitudes, were they? They were challenging, disturbing words. Yes, the temple will be torn down, but worse things will come. If you believe in me, if you follow me, it's not going to be an easy way. Suffering and rejection will come, but trust in me. Whatever happens, I will be with you. And you will be given the opportunities to speak to others about me in word or in action. God really is in control, despite all the chaos, confusion and suffering in the world. And he alone can be fully trusted. Just as Jesus had to face rejection, trial and suffering, so will those who follow him risk rejection and testing. But don't panic, says Jesus. Because God is your insurance cover for every risk taken in his name and for his sake, and for every loss you may suffer along the way. Remain faithful, remain in his love. Right now, we ourselves seem to be plunging into very disturbing and challenging times. There is news of seemingly constant war, injustice, violence, oppression, suffering, climate change, hopelessness. It's not surprising if many people are overwhelmed by feelings of helplessness and inadequacy in the face of such universal suffering and unrest. But Mark's gospel tells the early Christian church and us today that war and disaster do not signal the end. Rather, they are the beginning of an ongoing struggle. Following Jesus in battling with the powers of evil in the world is not a battle to be won quickly, but one to be fought long term through suffering and difficulty. But no one and nothing that is precious in his sight will ever be lost. Suppose we do choose to follow Jesus. How will we deal with being made fun of, rejected, when we feel lost for words to defend ourselves or to represent Jesus? What if we get it all wrong? Bob Dylan wrote in a song about his own faith journey, "Though the earth may shake me, though my friends forsake me, I'll believe in you." And the good news of Jesus is that he believes in you and me. His promises are true for every one of us. He calls us to follow him, to work together, to risk together, and to journey with him towards the coming of his kingdom. Despite all the evidence to the contrary in our world today, despite all the chaos, the confusion, and the suffering, God truly is in control, and he can be trusted. The future of each one of us is in his hands. His promises are true, and he has promised to be with us throughout our faith journey, however difficult it becomes. And the assurance that he gives has no end. Amen.